Don't harden your hearts. When darkness comes, and one day it may come, we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. But when it does come, these 25 verses, loved one, they will prepare us as it prepared them for what they were about to face.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello and welcome. Today, Pastor Bill begins the final chapter from his Hebrews series. In the study today, Pastor asked the question, how important is chapter 13? Well, let's find out. Here's Pastor Bill.
Let all of our hearts be open this morning, because here's what happens when you finish chapter 12 and you move into chapter 13, and we are all guilty of this, because it seems like all of a sudden there's topic after topic, command after command, and they somehow are not tied together. And that's not true. These 25 verses are incredibly, supernaturally tied together. So chapter 13 is not an afterthought of the writer. In other words, the Holy Spirit said, well, let's add 25 more verses and close this out. That's not how it works. Loved one, listen to me. It's not an afterthought. This is, to me, the most glorious conclusion to this letter of exhortation in any of the epistles. To me, it is absolutely breathtaking. And the timing of this great letter, who I believe is from the Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, this great letter of exhortation, I believe, has arrived today for you and for me, and the timing of it is absolutely perfect, especially with all that's happening in the world today. Amen? Now, with all that being said, I want to start out historically, okay? Because we're only going to cover six verses. Now we know that the temple is still standing. We know that the high priest is still there. We know that sacrifices are being offered. We know that Judaism has not come to an end, if you will. And we also know that the Jewish believers have left Judaism, and now they have embraced Jesus Christ as their true Messiah. Now, remember the date of this writing. This is so important, these 25 verses, because the Jewish believers of the first century, their entire life, everything they have known, for example, for the last 1,500 years from the date of this epistle, this letter, everything they know is going to vanish before their very eyes. I mean, the temple is going to be gone. Man, listen, it's going to be, even the city of Jerusalem, everything is closing in and is on the verge of destruction. And matter of fact, here's what I want you to see. Our Lord's predictive prophecy that he prophesied 37 years ago from the writing of Hebrews, loved one, is now going to come to pass. Let me read it to you from Luke 19:42. Jesus said this to Jerusalem, to the prophets there and all the people. He says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For the day will come. When Jesus spoke those words, it was 37 years earlier, but now it's into the future. He says, the day will come upon you when your enemies, they will surround you or build an embankment around you. And it says they're going to surround you. They're going to close you in on every side. Your enemies are going to level you. They're going to level Jerusalem. They're going to level the temple. They're going to destroy everything, loved one. He says, and your children, your children that are with you, they said they're going to level you to the ground, and they will not leave in you, in Jerusalem, one stone upon another, speaking of the temple, how every stone was torn down, because you did not know the time of your visitation. They did not, the Jewish people, the religious leaders, they did not recognize their day or their hour of grace. nor did they recognize the one who spoke that to them, who is the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we know the story. We know historically what happened in AD 70. Titus, the Roman general, came in, the 10th Legion of Rome, with all the other Roman cohorts and battalions and all the rest of them, and they destroyed Jerusalem. We know from history, that recorded history, loved one, that over 1 million Jewish men, women, and children were totally removed, dead. Chapter 13 is not an afterthought. It is 25 incredible verses. Now listen very carefully. 25 verses preparing a people that are about to go through the worst time in their history. Now, if you knew that Tarrant County, whatever, that it's about to be completely destroyed, everything, our way of life, everything that we know is getting ready to be removed, what would you say to a people? Well, we find in these 25 verses what is exactly needed for those who are still running the race of faith and how to prepare for the persecution and the most horrible times in their history. And it's so important that we understand that, because everything is about to vanish before their very, very eyes, loved one. So the title of part one, part two is next Sunday, don't miss it, but part one is this: How Important is Chapter 13. That's quite a title. Hello. How important is Chapter 13? Say it. How important is Chapter 13? Well, we need to find out. Amen. Now listen carefully. Yes, it's written to the first century Jewish believer, but it is also written to this generation. With all my heart, let us be prepared like this letter prepared them. Amen. Now, so with all that being said, this is a today word for all of us. With the things that are going on in the world, with Israel, I mean, oh Lord, you know, we need to pray for the peace of Israel. Amen? The things that are happening. And there we are, we have warships, America, right there in the Mediterranean as well. Hezbollah, Hamas, or who knows? Hamas. Sounds like a dip. Sorry, Lord. But you know what I mean. With all that being said, listen, here is a today word for us as it was a today word for them. Remember what it says in Hebrews 3:7. The Holy Spirit says, the Spirit of truth says, today, and the word today is urgent, right this moment. Today, if you hear His voice and you're getting ready to hear His voice through the Scriptures, amen? Don't harden your hearts, but get excited. Open up your hearts, because when darkness comes, and one day it may come, we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow, but when it does come, these 25 verses, loved one, they will prepare us as it prepared them for what they were about to face. Now, I want to move ahead to next week. Now, I want to get into verse 1, but just a moment. Question. I want you to think about this week. What happened? We know what happened to the Jews in Jerusalem, don't we? Historically. But I want you to put this thought in your head. We know that they revolted against Rome. We know that over 1 million died. But what happened to the Jewish believers that this letter was written to? That's next Sunday. Pray about that. Look into these scriptures. It's going to blow you away. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let's begin this morning. How important is chapter 13? Let's find out. Verse 1. It starts off, and Paul the apostle, whoever is the writer, he says, let brotherly love, what? Continue. Man, that is a command. Brotherly love, that's a Greek word, Philadelphia, if you will, the city of brotherly love, okay? He says, listen, let it continue, present tense, let it keep going on and on and on, keep growing in it. Don't you ever let that love stop. And that's what he's saying, that is the number one top priority. If we didn't have number one, the rest of it would not work. Number one is the power of running the race whenever everything in your life is falling apart, okay? And that's why it's number one. The writer put it there at the top. So the command, you just continue, you keep on. McGee put it this way. He's in heaven now, but he said this: we're not commanded to love like brothers and sisters. We are to love because we really are brothers and sisters. Amen? I mean, we have family all over the world, don't we? Yeah, and you don't even know them, but they're still your family. Now listen to me. The first century Jewish believers, what they are about to face, the writer of Hebrews said, listen, you have to. It is not an option. It is not a suggestion. You must, as a command, love one another. Why? Well, do you think the Roman army is going to love the Jewish believers? No. Do you think, how about their families who've already excommunicated them and so forth? Do they love them? No, not at all. Listen, they had no one except each other. Are you listening? That's all we have, loved one, is each other. It says in 1 Peter 3:8, and let me preface before I read that, I'm going to stay on verse 1 a long time because it's top priority, and I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, so be prepared for that. 1 Peter 3:8, finally he writes, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, and then he says, love as brothers. Love as brothers and love as sisters. Do you remember the command that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24? He says, let us consider one another. In other words, be attentive one to another. And what's the reason? He says, to stir up or to provoke one another to love. What a word is that? I'm going to go stir you up. I want you to love people. To stir you up to love and to good works. Why? There's only one way for Christians then and Christians today to face difficult, hard, horrible times. We have to face them together. Amen? We are one body. Amen? Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know that you are taught by God to agape, or love one another. What does that mean, taught by God? Well, the great commandment, which is one of the vision statements for this church here. That we shall love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is just like it. And we shall love our neighbor as ourself. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. This side's in shock. Amen. Yes. It says, and all of the law and the prophets hang on that verse, the great commandment, loved one. And he writes and he says, boy, you need to love one another and indeed do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. And listen to what he says now. And we urge you, brethren, meaning sisters as well, here it comes, that you increase, not decrease, that you increase the more and the more in love. We are commanded to love one another. Amen? Why? We're family. We have the same Father. We have the same Holy Spirit. We're all saved the same way. We have the same Savior who is our great high priest. Amen. We are the most important family on the planet. Did you know that? We are the family of God. There's no one else like us. We're the only people, the ones that are born again, the church. We're citizens of heaven. Amen. Now, with all that being said about this brotherly love, this sisterly love, how is your brotherly love and sisterly love doing? Is it doing well? Are we living in the last days? Yes. Is your love growing or is it growing cold? This is very important. If we were in Israel on Saturday, you follow me? There we are, we're waking up and life is normal. And then at 6:30, that's when it was on my computer, when it came across what happened. And all of a sudden, children are being beheaded and burned alive, decapitated, families shot, innocent people. And they were laughing as they did that. Their world changed in 10 seconds. Listen, it's so, so, so important, loved one, about love. That's why the writer listed it on these 25 verses as the top priority. So we have to be honest and do a self-checkup, because one day we might face something really bad. And I tell you, I need you and you need me, and we need to be strong together, don't we? We don't want to have cold love. Jesus put it this way in the last days. He said in Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness will abound, it'll be everywhere, the love of many, not a couple of people, many, the majority, it says the love of many, those who profess faith in Christ Jesus, whether they're Jesus namers, that's probably what they are. I don't think they're Jesus followers, but it says the love of many will grow cold. But it says will grow cold, meaning that their love wasn't always cold. Jesus said in the very last days, I just read it to you, that the love of wickedness is going to be greater than love for one another and love for Him. Are you with me? Amen? Are y'all listening? Yeah, very, very important. Listen, God said, already told us in chapter 1, verse 2, God has spoken to us that we are in the last days, and He's spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now listen, how does the agape of God, the love of God that's in you, how does it grow cold? You ever ask yourself that? I mean, have you ever been to a legalistic church? Have you ever been around a legalistic Christian? Okay, I don't know that that makes you grow cold. You know what makes a Christian grow cold? One word. One word, disobedience, and your love starts growing cold. Why? John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. John, the apostle of love, said in 1 John 5, 3, he says, and this is love for God. This is love for God, that you keep His commandments. And His commandments are not heavy. They're not burdensome. They won't weigh you down. They free you. Amen? So, man, I tell you, if we're not going to be obedient, listen, when disobedience increases in our land or in a Christian's life, I'm going to tell you right now, love grows cold. But it says something. I want you to catch this. What did Jesus just say? He says the love of many. He didn't say the love of all. Why is that? Because if you are born again, you will endure. Do you know that? You will endure because the Holy Spirit's working in you. And not only that, your faith may fail you, meaning that you just give up. But God, when we are faithless, He's faithful. Amen? Or you just might say, I can't do this anymore. All those things. But here's the victory. You'll never say that in your heart because you have His love. See, the love that's in you can never grow cold if you're a true believer because it's not your love. Do you understand that? It's not your love. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's His love manifesting through you, and His love can never grow cold. Amen? Now, not only that, the Bible says in Romans 5:5 that this hope, it does not disappoint. For the love of God, the agape of God, has been shed abroad, poured out lavishly, shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you. We have His love, the supernatural love of God, living in us right now. Now, listen, we're talking about the Jewish believers, what they're facing. We're talking about the 21st century Christians here, what we may face one day. The true defining mark of a Christian, the true defining mark of a true Christian church is love. Did you know that? Do you believe that? It is love. What did Jesus do just hours before He was to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world? If you were going to die, what would you tell your loved ones? What would be the most important thing you could say to them? Well, you know what Jesus did in the upper room in John 13? You know what He did. He knelt down, He girded Himself up, and He washed His disciples' feet. Amen? He gave them an example, as I have done to you, you do to one another. And then He said, hours before He went to the cross, one of the greatest statements in all the world, He said, I'm going to give you a brand new commandment before I go die for the sins of the world. And He was looking them in the eyes, loved one. And it was John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now listen, that was not the new part, as you've heard me say a million times. Leviticus 19, 18, that was from the old covenant. They knew to love one another, amen? So that wasn't the new part. He said, here's a new commandment, that ye love one another like I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. Listen, Jesus said everyone would know that you are my disciples by what they see. See, love is a verb. Amen? It's not a noun. By what they see, not by what you say. It's easy to say, I love you, isn't it? But see, love, the agape of God, is always demonstrated. Romans 5:8, God has proved or demonstrated His own love to us when He sent Jesus to the cross to die for our sins. Amen? So love is action. It's not passive or a noun. It is a verb. Now, there is no growth, There is no Christ-likeness without His love being in your heart. Romans 8, 9, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Him. Amen? So that love resides in you. Listen to what Paul said about this love. We are commanded to love each other. And if we're going to ever go through bad times, we have to manifest what we have. Amen? Now, 1 Corinthians 13:1, you know the scripture as well as I. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, talking about the gift of speaking in tongues, he says, but if I have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So in other words, without the agape of God, you're just a bunch of noise. Amen? As a matter of fact, I think the Amplified version says, you're just a useless nobody. That's pretty tough. You're just a windbag, okay? It's a lot of noise. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that wonder-working faith that I could say unto the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Can you imagine that? I mean, to have that, what he just said, you can have all knowledge. You can understand every mystery there is. I mean, you can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and understand all the secrets of God. You can know when the rapture is going to occur, which no one does, but you could say. Or 666, who is that? What's the Antichrist? Or why do men get manicures and pedicures? Why? You know? If you knew all of those things, but if you don't, you could operate all the gifts of the Spirit. But if you don't have love, he says, you are nothing. But it gets deeper. He says, now, if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, in other words, like a martyr, but if I don't have love, if I don't have God's agape in me, and I call myself a Christian, if I don't have love, if I don't walk the walk, he says, it profits me nothing. So you can have all those remarkable qualities living in you, or rather doing all those things. But if you don't have love, he says, you're not a prophet to anyone at all. There's something incredible about the power of love. You see, love bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. It never fails. Doesn't always win, but it never, ever fails. And agape is the unconditional, unwavering love of God. It's supernatural. You cannot get that kind of love on earth. It has to come down from God. Amen? It comes from Him and Him only. And that kind of love is not based on the performance of somebody else. You know, I love people whether they love me or not. Do you understand? And so whether they, you know, if maybe they're mean to me. Okay, well, so what? I don't care. I'm going to love you anyway because I feel sorry for you. Mean people are mean. You know, but we don't have to be like that. See, this love always seeks the welfare of other people. You see people that are hurting and you just love them. Why? God's love is living in you. Amen? Jesus in Luke 19:10, what did he say? He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are lost. Listen, that love. How about a few more scriptures about love? 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. In other words, He's the source, the origin of love. And everyone who loves, agape, everyone, every person who loves like God does, loves, is born of God. You're born again. And knows God. You have a relationship with Him. He who does not love does not know God. You're not in the family of God. You can call yourself a Christian, a Baptist, a Calvary Chapel, but if you're not doing this, he says, you don't know God. He says, for God is love, and this is the love of God. It was manifested toward us that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Here it comes. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to die for our sins, take our punishment, take our place. Beloved, if God so loved us like that, to send His own Son to the cross. He says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with part two of How Important is Chapter 13? And we trust you'll tune in once again. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.